Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Time to strap in for a fun trip report. It is Monday. That means it is time to escape virtually down to Walt Disney World. Jason is standing by out in Pennsylvania to share his awesome trip from this week last year. We're going to talk about Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, the Food and Wine Festival over at Epcot, staying at both French Quarter and Caribbean Beach on the free dining package. We'll even slip in Royal Pacific over at Universal. So stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at touringplans.com. They have the information that's going to help you steer clear of the crowds on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. For the price of a couple of Mickey bars, you're getting 365 days of the best information out there. Support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com. If you want to support the Be Our Guest podcast the easiest way possible, just bookmark and use our link often. It's our Amazon affiliate link, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and every purchase does help support everything we do here at the podcast. So please, again, bookmark it and use it often. beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1541 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. This time next week, I'll be down at Walt Disney World, and hopefully you'll follow along on the social media, Instagram and Twitter, at BeOurGuestMike. I'm going to be visiting, I'm going to go to Galaxy's Edge and check that all out for the first time. I know everybody else has been there, but me, also going to be there for the very last Illuminations, very first Epcot Forever, and just lots of fun. So also going to be riding on those gondolas as well. So follow me next week. But right now, we're going to have a fun trip report. We're going to talk about this time last year, about how fun Food and Wine is and being down at Walt Disney World in the fall. And joining me today for a great trip report, we're heading up to Pennsylvania. Jason's joining us. Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. And we got to talk a little baseball before we started recording here. And you are from the part of Pittsburgh where the Yankees minor league squad plays. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. Maybe we'll get a Yankees-Cardinals World Series this year.
Oh, man, wouldn't that be epic? That'd be a great one. But I'm hoping we're there. I think the Yankees have a good chance, but, man, the Dodgers are kind of worrying me out of the National League.
Yeah, the Astros are worrying me in the American League because we don't have the pitching that they have, so that's going to be tough to beat them in a seven-game series.
We'll see. You know, it's the fall. It's almost by the time this show comes out, it'll be all the playoffs. And, man, not a better time of the year with college football and everything else. Yep. But, hey, we're here to talk Disney. I could talk sports all day. We're talking Disney, my other favorite subject. And trip report from this time last year. So tell us when you went down, where you stayed, what were the celebrations, all that kind of stuff.
We went down. We were there from Friday, September 28th till October 6th. And the main part of our stay was we got a free dining offer at Caribbean Beach Resort, but we added a day on to the beginning of the trip, and it was sort of a split stay. We ended up at Port Orleans French Quarter for the first time for that first night, and that was actually pretty exciting. We really enjoyed it there at French Quarter.
Awesome. So we got a lot to dive into. We're going to talk about Food and Wine, the free dining, the two resorts, and I know you also went over to Royal Pacific for a night, which I kind of want to ask about as well. I've visited, never stayed there, but I've visited and I was really intrigued by this place. But before we do that, what's your background with Disney? You know, why do you travel to a Disney destination? What makes this a place that you like to vacation?
Going back to when I was a kid, my dad had actually grown up in Northeast PA. I didn't know too much about, like, my park experiences were places like Hershey Park, Six Flags. And my dad had booked a Disney trip for us back in 92 when I was a kid. And he ended up actually passing away from cancer before that trip. And my mom postponed it, but we went the following spring a few months later. And I just remember reading some books about it, but not knowing too much about Walt Disney World. And I remember the day we got there, we checked into actually Dixie Landings, which is now Port Orleans Riverside. And we decided to go to Epcot first. And you always hear cheesy stuff like this, but it was really like love at first sight. But I'd never been to a park like that. The ride, the edutainment rides, like the immersiveness, and then going back then it was Magic Kingdom and MGM Studios. And just never been to a place with cast members like that and how everything was so immersive. And I've kind of been in love ever since.
Yeah, you know what? It is cheesy, but that's why we all go. You know, that's why people listen to today's show. We like that stuff, you know, and it's fun. And that's a very touching reason to go. And let me ask you this. I don't know if you have any insight on this, but I've always been curious. So obviously, for the last 3 years, I've booked travel full time. That's my full time gig now, and I'm very lucky to get to do that. But there's something about Pennsylvania and Walt Disney World. There is an inordinate amount of folks that live in Pennsylvania that travel to Walt Disney World. Is there, besides the fact that Pam Forrester, the most famous Pennsylvanian from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is on the show? You know, is it big up there? I mean, it seems like I have tons of guests from PA.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, some of my closest personal friends aren't big Disney fans. I've never been there. I think, like some people, when I was in my 20s, like I kind of fell away from it and then started going again when I started a family and fell back in love, and we've been multiple times. But I do know people that go, and the crazy thing is, like you said, when we're down there, we run into people from Pennsylvania all the time, and I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if maybe especially like a lot of Pennsylvania is close to New York and other destination places and people like to travel. But yeah, it seems like people from all over Pennsylvania love to go down there.
Yeah, I've always seen that, you know, because obviously you get everybody's address and it's like Pennsylvania. It's like, whoa, you know, because it's just, it's strange because I don't, you know, see it as like a, you know, as big as New York City or anything like that, but I have more guests from PA. So it's an interesting thing. Yep. And thanks to all of our Pennsylvania listeners. We appreciate that so much. So let's talk about, before we get to the trip itself, your planning. How do you typically plan? Are you one of those people that have a spreadsheet for every day, a flashcard, or you just kind of go by the seat of your pants somewhere in the middle?
I'm more of a, I like to plan. I'm always tinkering with like when deals come out, and then I'll sit down with my wife and we'll try to, especially now with the ADRs are so important and the My Disney Experience and getting those Fast Pass Plus, we'll try to, especially once we know the park hours, we try to map out what days we're doing each park and get our reservations for those days and then, you know, our Fast Passes, because it's not as easy in the past to kind of fly by your seat of your pants unless you don't care about getting those Fast Passes and mind waiting some of those lines.
So share some of your strategies you've learned over the years. I like just hearing other people's ideas because it opens up my mind, whether I use it or not. At least it gives me something to think about. Like my biggest thing, like with Extra Magic Hours, I don't always go to them, but like if a park has PM Extra Magic Hours, I'll go to that park the next morning because I figure people won't stay out late there and go back early the next day. Just one of the things I found that's worked well for me, but do you have any tips for our listeners like that?
Yeah, I definitely think that is a good tip. Like if it has extra late magic hours, avoid that park that night and go to it maybe the next day because people were there late. Or if you go to that park, like we'll do sometimes with the Magic Kingdom, plan on staying right till the end because like the parks take on a different feel at night. And I know every trip we've gone recently, like there'll be one night where Magic Kingdom has extra magic hours and we'll stay right till it closes, whether it's 11 p.m. and midnight. And the last hour, hour and a half, there's almost no one in the park. And it really takes on a different feel when you're walking around with the lights and you're not bumping into people and you can walk right onto any ride you want. And that's kind of a really cool experience that some people don't think about.
Yeah, it's a totally great tip because you're right. Just different personalities of the theme parks themselves. Once it gets dark and actually cools off, especially in the, you know, we think fall most places of the year, it's like getting a little crisp. Not in Florida.
It was so hot when we were down there last year. It got a little cooler at night, but during the day it was hitting 90 most of the days.
Yeah, it's not cool in the evening. It's just less hot. So that's how I always look at it because I used to run the races this time of year. So now tell me one other thing about just generally, the heat, but I mean, what were the crowds like? Like end of September, early October, because you have the Halloween parties, you got food and wine, lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, this was, to be honest, we've gone 4 times in the past 5 years. We've gone twice in April, once in November, and then this trip. This was actually probably the least crowded of all the times we went. The night we did the Halloween party, that did get crowded, but the rest of the time, most of the waits were for even the popular rides were 20 minutes to a half hour at the most. Without Fast Passes, the longest we waited, we went on the Navi River Journey, and that was about an hour wait. And there's been times we're there and you're bumping shoulder to shoulder with people. And this time it really wasn't that bad. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, it's good to hear, especially this time of year, because it is super, you know, it's caught on in the last decade. You know, the fall is the time to go. And a lot of folks have, you know, fall breaks from work and school and stuff like that. So, you know, the old guidebooks 15 years ago, go in the fall. Nobody's there. Yeah, that's not true.
Yeah, back in the day, you could find dead times. But now it's pretty much busy all year round. So when you get a week like that where it's not that crazy, it's really nice.
All right, so let's talk about French Quarter for a second, because, you know, this time last year, there was still a lot of construction going on at a lot of the resorts. You know, you had the gondolas going in over at, you know, Art of Animation, Pop Century over, you know, the Riviera was still kind of a mess. Caribbean Beach was still undergoing construction. So French Quarter was untouched at this point. So you said you liked it.
Yeah, that was, in a way, it was a mistake going there first, because we really enjoyed it a lot more than we ended up enjoying Caribbean Beach this trip. But yeah, I'd always heard about it being the smallest moderate and how nice it was. And we were only there for the one day, but I mean, it was beautiful. We ate at the food court when we arrived for lunch and went swimming after we checked in. And it's really nice too, because Port Orleans Riverside is our favorite resort at home. And we hadn't been over there in a few years, and it's such a short walking from French Quarter over to Riverside. So we walked over there to visit. And the theming at French Quarter is top-notch. Like, it really feels like you're right there in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, both of those resorts, because they are sister resorts, you can share the pools, you can easily walk from one resort to the other if you want to go for, you know, if you need a beignet and you're staying at Riverside, it's not a big deal. You just walk down. I do that almost every morning at the end of my run. I go there and I get my beignets, even if I'm staying at Riverside. Yep. But the thing is, they're gorgeous. I mean, I've said this many times on the show, it's like walking through a postcard. You know, the theming is spot on, but man, you cannot beat a sunrise, you know, walking down the Sasagula River at either one of these resorts.
Yeah, it was beautiful. We were actually in Building 5, I believe, which are right out. If you walk out of a room, you're right there on the river. It was really beautiful.
So now, you mentioned you were on a free dining package over at Caribbean Beach. Of course, Caribbean Beach was going through construction. You know, they're, you know, kind of reimagining this resort, and a lot of the construction is now done, and the gondola is getting ready to go online here this next week. So it's really kind of coming out of the dark ages of the past couple of years. But what was that something that guided you? Like, the free dining is available at Caribbean Beach. Let's jump on that, because it's a great value.
Yeah, that's actually what happened. We were originally staying at Riverside again, and we decided to mix it up, and we had switched. I like to always look at offers, and Coronado was actually a little cheaper, and we had stayed there once and liked it. We switched to Coronado, and right after we switched, their whole main pool area went under refurbishment until after our trip. So we switched back to Riverside, and when free dining came available, maybe because of all the construction at Caribbean Beach, there was tons of rooms available there, so we jumped on it and switched over there.
So now, you mentioned, you know, it was kind of a mistake, because French Quarter is, you know, full on, you know, a whole 100% operational. Everything's great over there. Of course, Caribbean Beach, you're dealing with a lot of stuff during the major construction. So overall, you were there, you know, quite a long time. How did it work out? What did you learn? What did you not like?
Overall, I mean, it wasn't a bad experience. I mean, it's still a Disney resort, but yeah, it was actually the construction on center and all the new building and the restaurants was supposed to be done by the time we arrived, and it ended up opening 2 days later. And the part about that was frustrating is they put us in Martinique, and we were in the last building, so we were right by the Riviera construction. And as they were finishing the construction for the new center town, they put up walls so the path from Martinique to center town was closed. So that resort is so big that you basically, to get anywhere where the buffet or the main pool was, you had to drive because it was too far of a walk. So that was kind of an inconvenience.
Yeah, that place is huge. If you've never seen a Caribbean Beach, it is gigantic. Sure. It's a huge resort. But, you know, it's one of those things I look at it as, you know, in a decade, you know, you may stay there. You may stay there here in the next year, you know, maybe a couple of years. But it's one of those things, like, you'll have that memory, good or bad. You'll be like, you know what? This resort was so different. We were here when this whole, you know, this whole section of Caribbean Beach, you know, no longer exists. And, you know, it's a memory for Disney fans. But you're right. Sometimes it's a little bit of a hardship when they're going through those changes.
Yep. And also, one thing I've always liked, like, I always wake up before my wife and daughter. So I would always get, like, our coffee cups, and I would go for a walk and walk to the main building and fill them up. And while all the construction going on, there wasn't that. They had the little marketplaces set up in the rooms. And one of the markets was right by our room. So that was convenient, but it also like broke up the morning. Everybody has traditions at Disney, and that was always one of my traditions that I kind of missed this last trip.
Oh man, I feel you. That's my favorite thing, to get up. I always get up before the sun rises, get out there because it's so hot anyway. That's the only reason I really do it, because if you run when the sun comes up, you're going to die. But I get out there, I see the sunrise on my run, then I go down to the food court and get a breakfast, and then, you know, by that time the girls are starting to think about getting out of bed. So that's mine too. It's such a peaceful time. You know, I think that you bring up a good point that, you know, when you're on a vacation, a lot of people do like to sleep in. But I think if you do that every single day of your trip, there is something so very special about walking around your Walt Disney World Resort right as the day breaks, because it's peaceful, it's calm, and you can get great pictures. And it's just one of those times like you can really like, wow, how fortunate am I to be at Walt Disney World on vacation here while things are pretty calm?
Yeah, exactly. It exactly feels like that. And it's crazy because like everybody's still sleeping and you're walking around this beautiful resort that thousands of people are probably staying at. And you feel like you have the whole resort to yourself.
You know, but then here's what happens to me, though. Then I start seeing people waking up and getting out, and then I start getting antsy. Like, these people are all heading to the bus, and I'm still sweaty. I haven't had my shower. It's like they're going to beat me to the Magic Kingdom. Then I start getting nervous, and I start getting, you know, hectic like I always do.
Yeah, I get the same way, too.
All right, so let's talk about some of your fun times in the park. So, you guys, you had a good long vacation, lots of time. So what were some of the highlights of theme park time?
One of them, the first day, we did a split between Epcot and Hollywood Studios. And one of the really cool things about that, I'm a pretty big Star Wars fan, and Launch Bay opened up like a week after our previous trip ended, so I didn't get to experience that. And it was really cool going in and getting to meet Chewie and Kylo. My daughter was wearing an R2-D2 dress. He was giving my wife and daughter a hard time, but I was wearing a Darth Vader t-shirt, so he was okay with me.
That's so funny because, you know, now the whole talk is Galaxy's Edge and going to Batu. But yeah, I mean, you know, you're a big Star Wars fan. You say, what do you think? You know, I was thinking about this on my run the other day, because I think that's what we do as Disney fans, especially when you have a long time on a long run. But I like the way that Disney, you know, transitioned from, you know, they had to really build Galaxy's Edge, but that was going to be something that took 3 years or so, where they, you know, they start off just like a fireworks show. Then they added that little, what Ricky calls the fashion show, where you see all the characters on the main stage in front of the Chinese theater. Launch Bay gets added. So they were, you know, they had Star Wars weekends way back in the days, you know, it's kind of a first step, but they gradually brought Star Wars into the park, knowing it's going to take a long time to see the full land built. But, you know, if you think about it over the last 7 to 10 years, like it baby steps, but now we've got the whole land. So I think, you know, they got it there, but they did what they could with what they had at the time.
Yeah, I agree with that. Star Tours has always been there, and that's still going to be there, a little separate from the land. I like how they've really brought it all in. And I know some of this stuff, now that Galaxy's Edge is opening, is going to go away. But I really like how they did that, like especially kind of all over the park, different areas having little Star Wars touches for the Star Wars fans out there.
I do miss the hyperspace hoopla, though, from Star Wars weekends. That was crazy.
That was one thing. Yeah, the Star Wars weekends were a little like in the gap where I wasn't going to Disney, really, and I kind of stinks that I never got to experience one of those.
And if any of our listeners are kind of new to the whole Disney thing, just go to YouTube and look up Star Wars Weekends Hyperspace Hoopla, and you'll see Darth Vader dancing to You Can't Touch This and stuff like that. It was so wrong on so many levels, but God, it was so funny. Like, I love it.
Yeah, really funny.
It was so bad. The Stormtroopers dancing to Spice Girls. Anyway, that was fun stuff. So talk to us about some of your other times in the parks.
Yeah, the Sunday we did that was a long but a really fun day, because we did the Magic Kingdom all day, and that was the night we did the Halloween party. So we had brought in our costumes with us in a bag, and we just stayed. We got in the park about 45 minutes after it opened, and we stayed there till about a half hour before the Halloween party ended.
So walk us through that, how that actually went in practice, because, I mean, just planning that, I wouldn't do it myself. I don't think I have the stamina, because I want to be fresh for the Halloween party because it's so special. Is it something you would do again? What tips do you have from a situation like that where you did all-day Magic Kingdom and a party?
Yeah, I actually think I would do it again, because in the middle of the day, we did start getting a little tired, but we had a we had a quick service lunch that day, I believe, but we took our time eating, and then we kind of did some slower stuff, like we did Enchanted Tales with Belle. We went and saw PhilharMagic, some stuff where you could sit down and kind of recharge a little bit, and by the time the Halloween party started, I think we were all feeling pretty well.
That's good. Now, what were your costumes?
My daughter was, my mind's blank. My wife was a witch. My daughter was Rapunzel. And I was actually Waldo from Where's Waldo? And I was wearing the stocking hat and everything was a little hot, but that was actually pretty funny. It seemed to be a big hit throughout the night. I found Waldo about 5,000 times.
Yeah, I was up at Target a couple days ago, and they have, last year they kind of sold, the last couple of years in the men's section, they have these like onesies, like Chewbacca, they're like $20.
Yeah.
And I saw this year, yeah, they have a few more, they have like Eeyore, they had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, but they had like a set with just like the Where's Waldo t-shirt and the beanie. And so
that's where I got it last year.
I was going to say, I'm thinking about getting that and wearing it to a Mizzou game or something, because I know I'd be on ESPN.
Yeah. My daughter had glasses from, I think, a Harry Potter costume that looked just like the Waldo's glasses, so I was wearing those. And a fun story from that, they had the new live actors on Pirates of the Caribbean, like Gunpowder Pete, I believe his name was, that you're supposed to be looking for. And when our boat went by, he started going, "Oh, my God, I've been looking for you." So I started yelling, "I was looking for you." And he's like, "Shh, we'll keep our secret. We'll keep it secret. Don't tell him where I'm at."
See, I've never seen that. Oh, man, that's so cool. Because I bet it brought it like a whole other kind of thing to Pirates. I would like to see that sometime.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I heard they're adding more this year to it. And one other fun story from the Halloween party, too, was besides all the we had so many bags of candy. And we had done the Christmas party in the past, but we didn't do too many rides when we did the Christmas party. But we stayed real long at the Halloween party. And we did a lot of rides, too, along with the characters and trick-or-treating. And that's a good time if you're willing to take the lines were a lot shorter on the rides. So like at the end of the night, we went on Thunder Mountain, and it was only, I think, my wife, my daughter, and I, and like a group of six friends in the back. And actually, when we got back to the station, there was no one in line, and they told us we could stay on if we want. We were getting ready to get off, and the six people in the back, they were probably like 20-somethings. They started chanting, "Waldo, Waldo." My daughter got a kick out of that, so we stayed on, and they started cheering. And randomly throughout the ride, they started chanting, "Waldo." That was a lot of fun.
Okay, I'm running to Target after this show and getting the outfit, because it sounds like, yeah, you got your buddies with it. So it's all.
Yeah.
Now, also, did you get any like on-ride photos, like with Waldo riding on Splash or something?
Yeah, we did actually do that. We tried every ride we went on with photos. We tried to do something funny. So like when we went on Splash, I think my wife and dad were making scary faces, and it was just the three of us on the ride, and I sat in the front making like a thinky face and holding my glasses. So we tried to do that and all the different rides we went on.
So it sounds like you really found that the Halloween party was worth it.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy it. I mean, I hear some people say, because it doesn't change a lot, but this was, I would say for people that have never been to it, it's definitely worth it. We had a ton of fun. I think we had more fun at that one than actually at the Christmas party.
Nice. Yeah, I like the Christmas party, but I just think there's a little bit more going on for Halloween. Even though I love Christmas, but yeah, I think it's just a little bit more. Let me ask you this. You mentioned Epcot a little bit earlier, but Food and Wine was going on. So did you guys make it a point to go around to the booths? Do you do that?
Yeah, we did that a lot. The first time we went to Epcot, we mostly stayed in Future World, and we didn't do a lot. But Tuesday, after we went to Typhoon Lagoon in the middle of the trip to recharge a little, we went to Epcot that night specifically to do Food and Wine. And it was a lot of fun going around. We tried a lot of different things. My favorite thing probably was right before Illumination started, when we were getting ready to watch it, we got the bacon cheddar soup from Canada with the pretzel roll breadstick. That was we got that multiple times while we were down there. That was really good.
That is so good. But, man, it's so hard to eat when it's hot. That's the only time. It's always hot when I'm there.
Yeah, even at night, even once it was dark at like 9 o'clock at night, it was still really warm, and you had to let it cool down a little bit, because eating a hot soup in 80-degree weather is not always the best idea, but it was delicious, so it was worth it.
Now, did you mention how old your daughter is?
Yeah, she was 9 at the time of the trip last year.
So now, is she a foodie? Is she somebody that's adventurous, or how do you handle food and wine with a child?
Yeah, she's not super adventurous. She chicken fingers, mac and cheese, fruit, they're her favorite things. So she did try some things, mostly on the dessert side. But I remember while we were going around trying different things, we went to a quick service restaurant, I think at Morocco, and got her something to eat there while we were trying different things, because nothing at the stands besides the desserts were really sticking out to her.
Yeah, it totally sounds like my kids.
Yep. That's a bummer. She'd eat mac and cheese and chicken fingers and fruit every day for every meal if she could.
Yeah, so would my 22-year-old. She's graduated college and still eats chicken nuggets all the time. So she'll go to Buffalo Wild Wings. That's stretching it for her. So that's the story of my life. Let me ask you this. You mentioned Typhoon Lagoon, and we don't get to talk about the water parks much, but really the fall is a great time to go to the water parks down at Walt Disney World. So in Typhoon Lagoon's my favorite out of the two. I just think it's a little bit more chill over there, more... You know, it doesn't seem like there's as much concrete going on as Blizzard Beach, even though I do like Summit Plummet. So what did you think of Typhoon Lagoon?
I love Typhoon Lagoon. That's probably my favorite water park in the world that I've been to. And we usually, every trip, we try to go there at least for a part of the day. And it was, like you said, the fall was a great time to go. It wasn't crowded at all. Misadventure Falls was the new ride there. That wasn't there the last time we had went. And we went on that, I believe, 8 or 9 times throughout the day with no wait any time. It was basically just walk on. And that was a lot of fun.
So now I haven't done that one yet because we haven't been to the water parks in ages. I need to get back over there. You know, I used to go all the time when it was the ultimate park hopper ticket, when you had the, you know, it was part of your package. And ever since we've had annual passes, I never add on the other option to get the water parks. So I'm just being too cheap, I think. But Mallory's never been to a water park, so she's been asking. But Misadventure Falls, so I know Crushing Gusher is kind of like that water coaster. So how would you walk? What was the experience like with Misadventure Falls?
Misadventure Falls is kind of like, they have one already in the park. It's one of those family raft rides where you can fit like 4, 5, 6 people in the raft. And the beginning, it's a little different. You go up a conveyor belt, and it's actually the first water park ride, at least at Disney, that has a story to it a little bit. But Misadventure, her ship crashed, and when you're going up the conveyor belt to get to the slide, there's an animatronic parrot on a ship, and he's like telling little jokes and stuff. Then as you go up top, and it's just like a family raft ride going around down to the bottom. It has a lot of twists and turns. It's a lot more exciting than the other family raft ride they have there.
Yeah, that's one we did that one a long time ago with a bunch of guys from Jamaica. It was the craziest ride ever. They were going nuts. I just remember that. It was like Pam, Paige, and I, and like 7 dudes from Jamaica. It was correct. We were cracking up the whole ride. I still remember that. That was probably 15 years ago.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was. All right. So talk to us too about you're on the dining plan. So how did you get? Because obviously you research everything. You're a planner. You're going to get your money's worth out of that plan. So what worked out well for you on free dining?
Yeah, which they switched a couple of years ago. The when you stay at a moderate resort, it's just a quick service plan. We had actually gotten free dining like 4 years ago too, and it was still the standard plan. But it was fine. So I think we'd only had 2 ADRs for sit-down restaurants. And I liked this year they had switched where instead of having a dessert with every meal, they added an extra snack. So having 14 snacks each was really huge. Like, because you could really, like, depending on what you're using your snacks for, you can get some really good value there. Like, I had gotten several pineapple upside-down cakes from Aloha Isle. But it's really good, too. Like, if you're someone, like, I like a cocktail, but I don't like to drink too much, but they added the alcohol to the dining plan. So there's, like, you can get a soda for $2.50, or you can get, like, a $15 cocktail for the same thing. So if you're someone that likes to have a drink every now and then, it's worth getting that on the dining plan because you're getting great value on it.
Yeah, that's a great point because some of those drinks can get costly, but I mean, they're included on the dining plan. You're right. I mean, you know, why spend a $4 Coke when you can get a $12 drink if you're going to have one? It's smart.
Yep. Yeah, so, especially if you're like us, one of us is always wearing a backpack and we bring reusable water bottles around. So you can just drink that if you want a regular drink. So it's really, if you're on the dining plan and you like to have a drink, it's a good, really good value.
Nice. So give me a few of your favorite quick service restaurants around Walt Disney World. I always find this interesting because everybody has varied tastes and opinions. So what are some of your go-tos when it comes to quick service at Walt Disney World?
Well, a new one, which is probably now my favorite. This is our first trip with Pandora, the World of Avatar open, and Satuli Canteen is probably the best quick service restaurant I've ever been at down there.
Agreed.
We went there. We spent all day, but we only ended up Animal Kingdom one day. But that we went there for lunch, and that we had. I kept flip flopping while we were waiting between a bowl and a cheeseburger, and all three of us ended up getting the cheeseburger buns and. They were delicious. It was probably one of the best things I ate while we were down there.
Here's a tip, because I'm this exact same way. I love those cheeseburger pods or buns or whatever they are, the wraps. They're so good, and I also love the bowl. So I always tell my wife, you get the cheeseburgers, I'll get the bowl, and we split.
That's a good idea.
That's what we have to do. But you're right. I mean, they've upped the game there. The presentation, the restaurant itself is just, it's interesting to eat inside, you know, inside the restaurant, even outside, there's a little covered area. It's kind of an experience, and it's a decent value, and the food is excellent. I agree. Yeah. Got to go there. I mean, obviously, everybody goes there for Flight of Passage and Navi River Journey, but don't miss, you know, go there hungry. But there's so many good places to eat in Animal Kingdom. There's so many. Quick service, especially.
Yep.
So what are some of your others?
Flame Tree Barbecue is another good one.
Yes.
At Epcot, I mean, Epcot's not really, I mean, in World Showcase, there's some quick service, but Epcot, every trip, we always make sure we eat at Sunshine Seasons in the Land Pavilion. That's one of our favorite quick service spots to hit up.
So glad that's sticking around. It seems like the rest of Future World's getting bulldozed, but at least the land is staying.
Now it's going to, yep. And now it'll be the three different neighborhoods. It's going to be a couple, next time we go after our spring trip, it's going to be a completely different park.
Let me ask you about that, because you're a big Disney fan, and I haven't had any, you know, Monday guests to talk about this since the big announcements at D23. How do you feel about everything happening at Epcot? I mean, is it exciting? Is it making you nervous? What do you think?
Overall, I'm definitely excited. I mean, Epcot was the first park I ever went to when it was still Epcot Center, and it was the early 90s, so it was still pretty much the original Epcot. And over the years, it's gone away from that, and I still really love Epcot. But I'm really, all the announcements they made at D23, I'm pretty excited to see what it's all going to look like when it's done. I mean, I know now when we go this coming March, there's going to be a lot of construction going on. But the next time we go, a couple of years after that, it's going to be pretty exciting to see all the new changes there.
So now you mentioned you're going down in March, and you know we're getting kind of towards the end of the show. So what are the plans for March? How are you going to kind of make that trip different than this? How do you switch things up every time?
We usually stay at a moderate resort, but one thing we try to switch up this trip, we usually park hop a lot, but we're going to try to focus on full days at the park this year and maybe mixing in going back to the resort and relaxing a little bit. But one also other thing we're doing, we're buying the Disney plan, or the dining plan, I'm sorry, and we're buying the regular dining plan. So we're planning on making reservations for 8 sit-down restaurants, and we're mixing up with 6 new ones that we've never done before. So we're really trying to try a lot of new things this trip, especially when it comes to dining, and visit a few other, like one of, we're planning on going to that new Artist Point storybook dining at Wilderness Lodge. So we're excited to look at some other resorts too that we've never been to before.
Good tip. And I like how you mix it up. You know, you got different resorts, you have different, you know, like you focus on quick service one trip, park hop on another. That kind of keeps things fresh, and it gives you perspective. And actually, what it does long term, you know, I don't think everybody's kind of, you know, going on Disney vacations for research purposes or find out what's going to work, you know, better in 5 years. But what you find out is, you find out what works best for your family. I mean, does the quick service, you know, plan work best over the standard dining plan? Does non-park hopping work better? Or do you really miss park hopping? You know, what you're doing, you're having a great vacation, but you're also kind of, when you get to go multiple times, you're collecting data and finding out what works best for your family. So down the road, you're going to really kind of have a great idea of what's going on. You already do know, but I mean, it's great to switch things up like that.
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely something I think about. I like to look at, see how different things work to plan for future trips. And also, like I said, being a huge Star Wars fan, I'm so excited to see Galaxy's Edge, and especially the second ride, Rise of the Resistance, will be open by then. So I told my wife and daughter I plan on going there multiple times, and if there's a day, I've never left them at the parks, but if there's a day that they don't want to go back, maybe I'll split up from them and just go there, because I just looking at all the videos and everything as they've opened, it just looks so amazing.
Oh, man, it's going to be epic. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. I just wish it was open when I'm going down next week. But, oh, well, you know, little baby steps. I'll get there for Rise.
Yep.
So now one other thing I want to ask you about was you stayed at Royal Pacific, which is over at Universal. And if folks don't know, it has a theme very similar, at least to me, again, just opinion. It reminds me very much of Disney's Polynesian Resort, but it's not as expensive. Does have water transportation to the parks. Obviously, Universal's a much smaller property. What did you think about staying over there?
Yeah, that was a hectic day because my daughter became obsessed with Harry Potter, so that was a birthday surprise. We added that on to the end of the trip. So we were only there for one day, so we didn't spend a ton of time at Royal Pacific. We did have dinner there and swim. But I'll have to say, I've been at some of the Disney deluxe resorts, like for dinners and stuff like that. I've never stayed at one. And I know that's a Universal deluxe resort. That resort was beautiful. Like you said, it's very much like Polynesian. It's a Hawaiian Pacific theme. if I didn't know I was in Florida, I would have thought I was in Hawaii. Like, the theming was beautiful, the plant life, the pool, just like at Disney, the cast members were very, very friendly. And I know it has the water transportation, but it's a really short walk to the parks. Mm-hmm. We walk to and from the park, and it's a really nice, peaceful walk. I would definitely stay there again next time we go back.
Yeah, it's on my bucket list. I do love Cabana Bay, though, because it's like pop century on steroids. It is so mid-century. It's so 50s. It's like awesome. You get the Zest soap and the VO5 shampoo. It's like, it's totally me. But, man, Royal Pacific would be a treat. So you've kind of got me convinced I need to stay over there one night.
Yeah, it was great. And the one thing I know, like, I've only stayed at moderates, for the most part, at Disney World. But the bathroom at the Royal Pacific, just the regular room, the bathroom was huge. It was a really, really nice bathroom.
Oh, sounds good. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on the show. Appreciate it. It's a great way to kick off the week. And when you get down in March, make sure you give us a holler, and we'll have to talk about that trip and maybe compare it to this one. So, again, thanks for taking the time, and best wishes in March.
No problem, Mike. Thanks. Have a good night.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. So if you want to stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or even Universal Vacation, check out our friends over at touringplans.com. They are a great supporter of the show, and we want to make your next trip awesome. So check them out again over at touringplans.com. Also support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You still get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and every purchase does help support the show, and we really, really appreciate that. So again, please use the link often. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And drop by the Facebook group. We have over 8,900 fans talking Disney every day at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thank you so much for dropping in, kicking off the week the right way with some fun Disney talk. And of course, we'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. So for Jason, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.